Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. As we head into the Christmas season, we focus today on the importance of gift giving, not just for your immediate family and friends around the Christmas tree, but for the entire community in which you live. I'm Glenn Moberg, and the subject on Route 51 today is philanthropy, gift giving to create a personal legacy so that where you live becomes an even better place for your children and grandchildren. The simple idea of giving on a personal level is the basis of most of the world's religions, and the idea is made even more important by the tough economic times in which we live, because now, when the need is greatest, the resources are ironically the fewest, as governments at all levels, federal, state, and local, have been forced to make drastic budget cuts in order to balance their books. It is only charitable gifts by individuals, by families, and by private businesses that allow some very important needs to be addressed, needs that political leaders are either unable or unwilling to meet. Philanthropy on a large local scale is the province of community foundations, organizations run by local boards of directors who funnel contributions into funds set aside to meet local needs. We have the executive directors of three of our local community foundations with us for the next hour. Gene Tian of the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin in Wausau, Terry Rothman of the Community Foundation of Central Wisconsin in Stevens Point, and joining us by phone, Kelly Lucas of the Community Foundation of South Wood County in Wisconsin Rapids. And as always, we invite you to join the conversation. Give us a call toll free at 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. Maybe you've got questions about exactly what a community foundation is, how you could get involved, what they do. We've got three people who can answer those questions. Or maybe you've got a personal story about a need that a community foundation and one of its funds has met for you or someone you love. One way or the other, we want to hear from you. 1-800-780-9742. And a point of clarification, I should mention in advance that I serve on the board of directors of the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin with Gene Tian. So, Terry, Gene, and Kelly, thanks so much for being with us for the next hour.
Thank you for inviting us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Got a definition here. Philanthropy, a desire to help mankind as indicated by acts of charity, something that helps mankind through a service, gift, act, or institution. Gene Tian, the word philanthropy is something we use a lot in our community foundation board meetings, but it's not a word that a lot of people use on a regular basis. It's a long word and a very old word, but nonetheless a very important word today.
The word philanthropy, and I really like what you read, the definition, but I think one of the things that we try to educate people on, and that is a role of a community foundation, is to educate people about the importance of philanthropy and giving. A nuance of philanthropy which sets it apart from charity is that there is an intrinsic belief and faith in the future. And there's an element of trust in other people to make decisions. When you are charitable, they're not necessarily the same thing. It is charitable to put money in a bucket. That is terribly charitable. But philanthropy would be to invest in the future with a long range or a long-term investment in a vehicle such as a community foundation.
Terry, anything you'd like to add to that definition?
Yes. We do the things that we do when we're in business because we're trying to make our communities better places. And when we talk to people every day, we ask them what things have they found in their life that made it more enjoyable or more fun, you know, easier, what have you. To raise their families, what would they like to see preserved for their kids and their grandkids? And once we understand what those are, that's where we encourage them to put their energies, their efforts, their talents, and their resources.
And Kelly Lucas, anything you'd like to add to that general definition of philanthropy?
Mm-hmm. I would. I think when oftentimes we talk about the definition of philanthropy and how to convey the essence of what that is, I think frequently about a a wonderful essay done by a woman named Susan Wisely, who is from the Lilly Foundation in Indiana. And she talks about the four traditions of philanthropy. So expanding on what Jean said, that philanthropy can really be relief, if you will, to alleviate human suffering, food pantry contributions, helping an elderly individual. Philanthropy can also be improvement, looking for principles of progress, investing in human potential such as education, scholarships, etc. Philanthropy, the third tradition, would be considered social reform, so principles of justice, social change or social problems. And then the fourth tradition that Susan uses when she describes philanthropy is philanthropy as civic engagement, so principles of participation in terms of building community. And I think that really is it's a wonderful framework for capturing what Terry and Jean, you know, just articulated.
So all four of those traditions are things that are addressed by community foundations.
Yes.
Kelly, how long has the Community Foundation of South Wood County been around?
Well, we were established in 1994.
And Terry, of your community foundation in central Wisconsin?
1982.
And Jean?
January 1987.
Okay. Can you tell us, and maybe Terry, since your foundation is older than the other three, how did community foundations come about? How did they originate, and how did they grow to the point where they seem to exist in a lot of parts of America right now?
Well, they do exist in a lot of places, and frankly, there are more being formed all the time. In our specific instance, we had a high school principal who felt there was a need to find a vehicle and ways to fund some programs that our local school board could not. And he pulled together a group of volunteers, and that's really how our organization began. And over the years, it's grown to encompass the much larger community. Certainly education and supporting our youth is a big part of what we do. But the scope has really broadened.
Jean Tien, in north central Wisconsin, how did the Community Foundation here in Wausau get its start?
Well, interestingly enough, there had been a community foundation, Glenn, I don't know if you knew this or not, but in the 50s.
No, I didn't know
and
that.
And it existed, and it was disbanded because John Ulrich and Stan Staples are credited with forming our community foundation. But he realized, being an accountant, that people were using funds of the community foundation to pay curling dues, which that is not considered a charitable event by any stretch. So he thought, let's just close this down. And it the idea stayed with the community, and especially with private foundation leaders who realized that they needed to do some things charitable in the community, but with their private foundation status, they were not able to do. So they were really looking for and focusing on a 501c3 status organization, and enter the community foundation. So that is how we were formed in 1987.
What is a 501c3 for the people who are listening right now who don't know what one is?
It's an IRS designation for a charitable entity that... It really has the most flexibility of any foundation status, and many area it's a nonprofit status, so many area nonprofits, such as the United Way, such as Red Cross, many of the area nonprofits have that status and designation.
And Kelly Lucas, your community foundation formed in 1994. What was the impetus for it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking, actually, and I will answer the question. I was thinking that as a field, community foundations are very close to celebrating 100 years. So the first community foundation was established in 1914, and we have one in Wisconsin in the Greater Milwaukee Foundation that was established in 1915. So
one of the very first.
One of the very first, and we have a long history of philanthropy across the U.S. with community foundations. And I mention that because our story really is connected to a family, the Richard and Virginia Brazo family, cranberry growers in the Wisconsin Rapids area. Virginia had professional advisors, an accountant, an attorney, both of which were associated with the Greater Milwaukee Foundation. And Virginia's desire in thinking about philanthropy in the community was to help democratize philanthropy, if you will, that we had a number of family foundations, corporate foundations, but looking at a long-term platform through which many people could engage in philanthropy, not just wealthy, empowering local people to address what she knew would be changing needs in the community. So she really was a visionary in her time, received a great deal of assistance from her advisors, who I said were associated with the Milwaukee Foundation. So we had a close relationship with them when we were started. We also had a close relationship with Jean Tien in the Wausau area when we were started, which I think is one of the great things about community foundations, is really the collegiality and the relationships.
So all three of you, of course, are not you're not going to turn down any big donations, but you're broader than that. You're looking for donations from everyone, from everyone and anyone who might want to help out their immediate community.
Absolutely.
For the long term.
We're really the vehicle that allows, I'll say, smaller givers to do that. We, you know, if you look at our foundation, we represent over 200 different funds, 200 different options or opportunities for people who want to make a difference in their community but might not know how or where they want to do it, and we provide them with that vehicle.
Now, each of those funds is earmarked for one particular need or one particular field?
Could be. Many of them are. We also do a lot of donor advised funds where the fund representatives make recommendations to our board as to how they would like to see their annual allocations distributed. And then our board reviews those and then makes final decisions.
But these individual funds, and perhaps we should try to get across to people who aren't familiar with exactly how they work. Gene, the individual funds that are set up to be in existence in perpetuity. This isn't like a one-time thing where you give a certain amount of money and you're done. These funds continue to benefit the area that they've been set aside to benefit for years and years to come. How exactly does that work financially?
A part of the, if I could just go back a little bit, Glenn, a part of the definition of a community foundation is that we are the community's endowment, and we do tend to serve a geographic area. The types of funds that we have in its most simplest form are restricted in some form and unrestricted. Unrestricted is basically the community's endowment. We do have funds that have restrictions put upon them, such as a scholarship fund, for example. There are specific parameters for a scholarship fund, the type of student that they're looking for, the school that will benefit by that scholarship payment. So those are set up as long-term funds that will serve in perpetuity. All of our funds, and I believe I speak for everybody here, is that all of our funds can be contributed to at any time and in any amount.
So they can continue to grow, but once they're at a certain level, you can meet the needs off of the interest generated by that fund.
That is correct.
So that they continue to meet the needs of the community without the fund ever getting smaller. Which makes it a lot different than, say, contributing to the Salvation Army or contributing to a food drive, because once that money is spent, well, you don't have a balance anymore to draw on.
That is correct. It is permanent. And just to put it in perspective, we currently administer exactly 300 different funds serving different purposes. So it's like 300 different foundations in operation.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, how many individual funds are you dealing with in Southwood County?
Oh, we have about 450.
And again, a lot of these funds are set up by specific individuals who want to meet specific needs and make sure that those needs are being met in all the years to come.
Right. Glenn, let me give you an example. The one of the very the first large gift that we received was an anonymous bequest in 1988 of $103,000. And the lady that made that gift said, use, you know, endow this fund, but take care of the needy in Portage County. That fund now has a balance of over $140,000, and it's paid out $110,000. It's paid out more than the original gift, and the balance is also in excess of the original gift. That in about 22 years. So that's really the beauty of endowing.
We're talking about gift giving this holiday season and the importance of community foundations and philanthropy in meeting the unmet needs of our local communities, needs that are greater than ever. And ironically, with these great needs, the government funds just aren't there to help out the way they used to be because of the budget deficits and the problems faced on all levels by the economic downturn. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking about community foundations and the importance that they play in meeting the unmet needs of our communities. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. We have Terry Rothman of the Community Foundation of Central Wisconsin in Stevens Point, Gene Tian of the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin in Wausau, and joining us by phone, Kelly Lucas of the Community Foundation of Southwood County in Wisconsin Rapids. I want to hit at least briefly on this idea that community foundations are there even when government funds might not be to meet certain needs. And Kelly, your organization was put together in 1994, and you suffered in Wisconsin Rapids a very traumatic event in the year 2000. And it's probably a very good thing that the Community Foundation was there to respond to it.
It was. In our community, of course, many in central Wisconsin would know, was the headquarters of Consolidated Papers for nearly a century. And having a Fortune 500 paper company located in your community was really a wonderful asset and a great benefit. And when that company sold and the headquarters moved to Finland, it was quite a dramatic change for our area, not unlike what we are seeing in the last few years with auto manufacturing communities across the nation. And I would have to say that we did not replace government dollars in that scenario. I think we did what government was not able to do, and that was to help bring people together to begin to envision what Southwood County can be in the future, that we will always be about paper, but we can be about so much more. And oftentimes that's helping people to see the assets that you have as a community. And when you frame the conversation as, you know, it really is a time of diminished resources, and it was for us, has been for the nation over the last couple of years, it's my experience has been that in that time period, this mindset of scarcity versus abundance, I think makes a difference. And the Community Foundation played a role in helping, along with other organizations in our community, but helping to bring people together to create vision for the future and to chart a course towards what would that look like. And I would say as a condition to my remarks right now is that we have been very fortunate as an organization to benefit from the investment in particular of two donor couples at that time after the sale of the paper company, former residents who no longer lived in Southwood County, that benefited personally from the sale of the paper company,
mm-hmm.
and chose to invest resources in the Community Foundation to increase our capacity so we could step in and help the community figure out what is it that we need to do to move forward, to think about what kind of new jobs need to be created, what industry, what kind of small business and entrepreneurial development. So there was a great gift and great opportunity given to us to increase our capacity, and that was in 2004. So for the last 6 years, we have been able to do a whole lot more, I think, than the standard or traditional community foundation.
And Terry Rothman, we've only got about 30 seconds here from the break, but that's been a particular focus of yours during this hard economic time that we're in the Stevens Point area.
Well, you know, certainly every community is unique, both its assets and its talents and its strengths, and also its makeup. Unlike Kelly, we're a bit blessed in that while we have paper mills as well, it was not the dominant industry. We've got a number of large service companies, insurance companies, including the university. We also have a pretty diversified agricultural community. So while we face issues, they're really quite different than what Kelly does, and frankly, they're different from what Gene experiences as well.
But Gene, in these hard economic times, these community foundations are important vessels.
We're working hard, very definitely.
We're talking to Gene Tien, the Executive Director of the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin, Kelly Lucas of the Community Foundation of Southwood County in Wisconsin Rapids, and Terry Rothman of the Community Foundation of Central Wisconsin in Stevens Point. More after this break. We are back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today we are talking about holiday gift giving and gift giving that can go on all year round in order to support our local communities. Gift giving of a very special kind, a kind that meets needs for our kids, our grandkids, for all practical purposes, in perpetuity. We're talking about community foundations and the subject of philanthropy with Terry Rothman, who's the executive director of the Community Foundation of Central Wisconsin in Stevens Point, Gene Tien of the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin in Wausau, and joining us by telephone from Wisconsin Rapids, Kelly Lucas, the executive director of the Community Foundation of Southwood County. Right before the break, we were talking about how community foundations are more important than ever in tough economic times. And, Terry, before the program, we were talking about mm-hmm. specific needs that you were meeting in the Stevens Point area in Portage County, needs that a lot of us don't think we have to deal with in central Wisconsin, things like homelessness.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you know, and certainly these are tough economic times, and the incident that Glenn was mentioning, our local police department found a homeless individual sleeping in the tender of an old antique steam engine that's one of the memorials placed in town, and you know, and obviously we and other organizations were able to help that individual. But, you know, in Stevens Point and in northern Wisconsin, we just don't think about homelessness like we see on TV all the time, but yet it's there. And it gets tougher when it gets cold outside.
And all three of the organizations are helping with things like food pantries and local community organizations that are meeting those specific needs. Gene, if you could talk a little bit about some of the needs that are being met in Marathon County, the greater Wausau area.
The mission of the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin is to promote the vitality and the livability of our area, and to create a magnet that will attract and retain talented individuals, business and industry. And so we are focused on those issues. Homelessness and hunger are certainly a part of having a healthy community, and one of the things that we've recently completed was a fund drive in partnership with Gannett. We are a Gannett community with a Gannett newspaper, the Wausau Daily Herald.
As are all three of the communities that represented today.
So we just ended the campaign, which on November 30th, and it was matched $10,000, up to $10,000 by the B.A. and Esther Greenheck Foundation. And that challenge match was met, so the campaign was successful, and that will be distributed to area food pantries.
But there are needs being met all across the board. And again, you're not just talking about emergencies, but we're talking about making steps so that all of these communities become vibrant, great places to live in the years ahead.
Well, a couple of things that the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin is involved with. We do have a wonderful resource in the Wisconsin River that divides our community, that runs through our community, I should say, rather. And several years ago, we did receive a $1 million bequest from the estate of Jane and Lawrence Sternberg. And the Community Foundation has been involved in working in partnership with our local government, with the River Edge Commission, to complete. There are several segments of the trail that do need to be completed so that the downtown loop will be completed, and you can walk that loop from Bridge Street downtown and back again. And so downtown was a very important thing to Jane and Lawrence, and so we thought it was important to work on that part of the trail. There are walking trails involved with that. Another thing that we have done is we realize that people love to socialize, but because we do what we do and we sometimes live in a silo and work in a silo, we don't make those connections. So we do have a downtown square, the 400 block, which for people going through our downtown area, they will see it's heavily under construction and is slated to be completed in the springtime. And with these economic times, the people have voted with their pocketbooks, and they have come up with $1 million. We have met that mark in raising money for the square.
Now, that's something, of course, I'm familiar with. And again, I need to let everyone listening know that I am on the board of directors of the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin. So I do have a specific personal interest here. But the downtown square, this is another example of an area where, for one reason or another, government was not going to meet the need. The city of Wausau is facing some very serious economic problems, as are all local governments. There's only so much money to go around. And with the idea of taking a city square, which would take $1 million to renovate, put in the band shell, put in the fountain in the middle, put the landscaping in, the city basically said, if you folks can go ahead and raise this money privately, go ahead and do it. But we can't give you any money from the city coffers to do that. And lo and behold, the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin set up what's called a pass-through fund, which allows people to donate to that specific need. And we raised $1 million in this community to get that done. It wouldn't have happened without the Community Foundation.
It's phenomenal during this time. And I think that people had so much bad news in the year of 2007 and on into 2008 with the market dipping. And this is something that everybody could rally around. And the amount of our gifts ranged, you know, from $5 and $10 on up. So everybody participated. They see the value in going down, being entertained, being with their family, being with their friends, and having some good news, having some fun.
And Jean, while you've got the megaphone, because I might forget otherwise, please mention the work the Community Foundation is doing to realize another very important unmet need, which is to help the women's community finish its shelter for abused women.
As a part of our strategic plan, we recently decided that we need to take a look at the community and perhaps consider more meaningful size grants. And in keeping with our mission of having a vital and livable area, the women's community has been working with a shelter that really has not been meeting their needs and the needs of their clients and our community. And so they have a shelter that they're raising money for, and the Community Foundation stepped forth, and we are pledging $100,000, which is a significant gift for us in this time and age.
And basically, in order to finish that project, when they reach a threshold, the Community Foundation will finish that shelter for abused women with that $100,000.
That's right. And right now they have $700,000 left to raise, and they're undergoing a campaign where they're looking at, the campaign is getting pledges from 5,000 people for $200 each, and they're making headway on that campaign as well.
Kelly Lucas, in Wisconsin Rapids, you were involved in a brick-and-mortar type project back in 2002 where you had a Walmart building downtown that was really in bad shape. It was an eyesore, and lo and behold, it has risen like a phoenix from the ashes.
It has. It has become a multi-service senior center. It was a partnership with the city, with the county, and the state, and definitely public-private resources put together to take what was very much a blighted, vacant Walmart building in the center of our downtown, very close to the riverfront, and convert it into what's called the Centralia Center, which I believe it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago now, won a national award for adaptive reuse of a vacant big box retailer, because there are many of them across the U.S. But I think it's a great example of philanthropy in the private sector. The contributions for that project, Glenn, ranged from $1.50 to $250,000. So it was very accessible, and there were thousands of contributors to it that believed in having a permanent home for our seniors and the ability to be a catalyst for some downtown revitalization.
Terry Rothman, you don't have to be a millionaire to be a philanthropist.
No, you don't. I've got actually two things I'd like to share. We have there's a group that I work with. It's a local hunting club, and as the gentlemen aged, they found they were using their property less frequently. It was a 125-acre heavily wooded parcel with wetlands on the west side of the Wisconsin River in Portage County, and they decided to donate it to us. And as they had been trying to sell it privately for a number of years, and with the downturn in the economy, we're having no luck. So I worked with them, and working with some individuals on our board who are strong in the environmental area and some other folks that we work with, we determined that there would be an interest in having that property become part of our county park system. So I wrote two grants, one to the Portage County Land Preservation Committee and also to the Department of Natural Resources for a Nelson Knowles stewardship grant. And we were successful with both. Both groups funded half of the purchase price. We now have a 125-acre park that is open to the public and will be retained as a game preserve and be left in its natural state. But the other side of that is that particular wildlife group used the proceeds to start a fund with us. And besides promoting other wildlife activities, fish stocking, those types of things, they also provide scholarships to College of Natural Resources students at UWSP. So it was a win-win for everybody.
A multifaceted project. And you had a second thing that you wanted to
share with us. I signed a gift acknowledgement letter last week to a 7-year-old girl in Plymouth, Wisconsin. And she had made a gift of $10.14 to our local Audubon Society. Her grandparents are local people and are involved in, obviously, Audubon. And through those conversations, she knew that it was important to help the birds. Her caregiver was sick one day, so mom took her to work, and there was a play area for the kids. And she found a basket, emptied it, went outside, grabbed some pine cones and acorns, made a little sign that said, "Help the birds," and then basically worked her mother's lobby area while her patients were waiting. And they were giving her pocket change, those types of things. And she was so proud that she could make, a $10.14 gift to help the birds.
There you go. I'm going to allow each of you to let the folks listening know who to contact and how, if they're interested in getting involved in the Community Foundation. Terry, we'll start with your organization.
Simply give me a call, area code 715-342-4454, and we're there.
And that's the Community Foundation of Central
Wisconsin. And Stevens Point.
And you cover Portage and Washera
counties. Portage and Washera counties, correct.
Jean Tian?
I would suggest that they contact myself and Jean Tian at 715-845-9555. If you're a little bit shy and want to know a little bit more about us, you can go to our website, which has a wonderful amount of information, and that is www.cfoncw.org. And we do serve primarily Marathon County, but we have affiliate funds in the areas of Merrill, Tomahawk, Antigo, and most recently Boulder Junction.
Okay, and Kelly Lucas, if people want to find out more about the Community Foundation of Southwood County?
Sure. I would say to contact our office, and certainly you can ask for me. Actually, you could talk to the wonderful receptionist that answers the phone, and she can connect you to just about anybody on our staff. Our number is 715-423-3863. And like Jean mentioned, I'd encourage you to visit our website, which is www.cfwc.org.
And Terry, your website?
www.cfcwi.org. And like Jean and Kelly, we have a great website with a lot of information about us and different ways to give, different ways to receive money.
We're talking to the executive directors of three of our local community foundations, Kelly Lucas of the Community Foundation of Southwood County in Wisconsin Rapids, Terry Rothman of the Community Foundation of Central Wisconsin in Stevens Point, and Jean Tian of the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin in Wausau. The great thing about those community foundations, when you donate, your donations, the funds that you help set up or the funds that you contribute to, all of the money stays in your local community. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I wanted to get all those phone numbers and websites out so that we wouldn't be rushed at the end of the show. We've got more after this.
The businesses, professionals, and organizations that support Wisconsin Public Radio's programming play an important part in our financial health. When you visit a WPR sponsor, please let them know that you appreciate their support of the station. Thanks very much.
1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51. We're talking about community foundations and the role they play in providing for basic needs in these tough economic times. Kelly Lucas, tell us a little bit about some of the leadership and skill development that you've been working on in Wisconsin Rapids, particularly important with the upheaval that's happened in the last 10 years in the paper industry there.
I'm so glad you asked, because I was thinking, you know, I really would love to talk just briefly about present day in Southwood County. I was able to kind of paint the picture of, you know, 2000 and the sale of the paper company and the economic impact of that. However, what I would say is I am so proud today to be from Southwood County and so proud of the people from Southwood County and the organizations. And I would share two specific examples. One is a national project that we are part of through the Community Foundation called the National Fund for Workforce Solutions. And in 2008, a group of 14 national foundations like the Hitachi Foundation, Microsoft, Ford Foundation, and others came together and created something that's called the National Fund for Workforce Solutions with the intention of partnering with local communities and local philanthropists, local funders, who had a shared interest in improving the workforce system in their community. And we went through a long process and were selected as one of two rural sites in the U.S. In 2008 to participate in the National Fund. And what the National Fund is enabling us to do in our community is a project called Workforce Central, We have 16 foundations and corporate funders who are pooling their resources together, working with state and federal government organizations, looking at and coordinating, working with employers to determine, in our case, in particular in Southwood Advanced Manufacturing, what are their shared needs when it comes to workforce development and skill development. Mm. And then looking at the other side of the equation, which is the worker, dislocated worker, or worker who's looking for career advancement. How do we make sure that individuals have the right skills that match with local employer needs? It has been an absolutely incredible project, one of the best since I've been there, and it's only possible because of literally hundreds of organizations and individuals at the table on a regular basis saying, how can we improve this system for employers and employees?
You're also involved with a partnership with the John F. and James L. Knight Foundation. If you could just give us a quick Cliff Notes version of how that's involved with giving the community access to information in really a changing media environment.
I will. Cliff Notes version. Those that know me would probably be laughing right now because I'm not good at Cliff Notes. But the Knight Foundation is... was established by money from the Knight Ritter newspaper chain. And the Knight Foundation announced a national initiative 2 years ago now for communities to participate in to address the changing nature of how people are receiving their news. So we all know that there have been changes in the print news industry. We look at newspapers and how their business model has changed as the economy has changed. A lot of news migrating and moving online. And the concern is, particularly in rural communities where not everyone has access to online.
And we don't have mass transit, so they can't get to the library easily.
Exactly. That we are creating greater disparities between, as an example, children who have access to the Internet and the world of information and knowledge that they can gain to help do homework, and those that do not. So we partnered with the Knight Foundation. It's a three-year opportunity looking at assessing where do people in our community get information, who has access, how can we improve access, and improve sources of information. And one last thing I'd like to say about that is related to being proud of being from Southwood County and the people from Southwood County is through that grant, we have a wonderful partnership that is just established with MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, has something called the Center for Future Civic Media. And they partner with communities really around the world in looking at how can technology play a role in helping people be informed and engaged in their communities.
Kelly, we've got to hold it at that. We're down to our last couple of minutes here. Terry, anything you would like to add to the conversation?
Just touching on one project that we're involved in, and that's the Thailand Project, which was started by two UWSP students in 2005. And those two young students were able to bring two stateless women to this country, take them out of human trafficking. They are now they've had 18 months of English as a second language. They're now completing their first semester of their undergraduate bachelor's degrees. And in 3.5 years, one of them now has citizenship. The second one is still in process. But in 3.5 years, they will be able to go back home and help other stateless young men and women get an education and be free of the bonds of statelessness.
So the community foundations, Gene, you can point to the brick and mortar projects, but we're so much more than that.
We're so much more than that. And I'd like to give an example of a forum that we had recently for nonprofits, Put Our Money Where Your Mouth Is. And it was very well received, and we received a lot of valuable input from them. And it is very clear that they are going to continue to look to the community foundation for leadership, education, and opportunities to collaborate.
We invite all of you to put your money where your mouth is. mouth is check out the community foundations, and if you can, give to make your community a better place. Gene Tian, Terry Rothman, and Kelly Lucas. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks again to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. A reminder, you can follow our adventures on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Give and give generously this holiday season. Until next week, we're heading out of town.